ask you to turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter number 9. The Gospel according to John, chapter number 9. Something that the Lord has been dealing with me with over the last several weeks or so is something that it's not anything new. It's not anything that's really even thought-provoking tonight. But it's something that we all possess. It's something that we all have. It's something that we're all in control of, but it's something that sometimes we forget that we have it. And it's our testimony, our personal testimony. You see, each and every one of us here tonight, we each have a personal testimony. And I believe that in the one way of salvation, I believe that we are saved by the grace of God through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there's only one way to be saved, but I am sure that if we went across this congregation here tonight, that each one of us would have a little bit different testimony about how we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And it's my prayer tonight that each and every one of us here, that we are saved. And if you're not, then you have that opportunity tonight to put your faith and your trust in Christ Jesus. But we all have a personal testimony. So what we do with that personal testimony each and every day of our lives, especially as a child of God, is a reflection upon the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I want to give you just a couple of biblical examples of what I'm talking about before we read here in the Gospel according to John. When I think about testimony, Lot came to my mind. When Lot and Abraham departed ways, and the Bible said that Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw the well-watered plains of Jordan, that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And it wasn't long after Lot had pitched his tent towards Sodom that he began to look at that city and really, in all honesty, began to lust after that city. And the Bible tells us that he went and he sat in the gate of Sodom. That means he served that city as an official. And he lived there so long, and he raised his family there so long, and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah was full of sin, full of evil, full of wickedness. That when it came time that God said, I'm going to destroy that city, that Lot's personal testimony with his own family had failed. Right. And they laughed at him, and they mocked him. When he said, up, get you out of this place, the Bible says that they mocked him. And it was all because of his personal testimony. Now, I want to assure you that at the time that Lot was there in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that he was a saved man. Right. Because the Bible says there in 1 Peter that it vexed his righteous soul. Right. Just Lot, the Bible says about him. Then I think about the Apostle Paul. And I think about how Paul was known as Saul of Tarsus. And before he knew the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was a persecutor of Christians. And how he persecuted the church. And how he cast men and women into prison, and he did all these horrible things. But after that encounter, that personal encounter with Christ Jesus there on the Damascus Road, that Paul had a change in his life.
Yes.
And because of that change, Paul continued his life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in every fiber of his being. So when we think about the Apostle Paul, we have good thoughts about him. We think about that he fought the good fight and that he finished his course and that he lived his life to serve Christ. So with those thoughts in mind, I find here in the Gospel according to John chapter number 9, we find a man that we don't know. We don't know his name. We don't know a lot about him. But boy, what a testimony that he shares with us here in this Gospel. Now, I do believe that the King James Bible is the infallible Word of God.
Amen.
I believe that it deserves our utmost attention. I really do. And I even find in the Scriptures that when they asked Jesus to read from the book of Isaiah, that Jesus stood when he read. So, if you're willing and able tonight, I'm going to ask you to stand with me, please, as we read in reverence to the Word of God together. I want to start in verse 17. I'm going to kind of start in the middle of this chapter. And if it be the Lord's will tonight, we'll read down through and include verse 25. John chapter 9, verse 17 through 25, the Bible says this. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? That he hath opened thine eyes. He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Let's pray tonight. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight as we're approaching the close of another day, Lord, we thank you for the day that you've given to us. And Lord, we thank you for the Jordan Baptist Church. We thank you for the light that she's been in this community for years. Father, we pray for her. We pray for Brother Billy that they will continue to carry out the commission that you've given to this church. Lord, we pray that many souls will be saved to the preaching the gospel of the word here. And Father, Lord, for the prayer request, Lord, we just pray tonight, Lord, that your will be done in each and every one of these requests. Lord, I pray for the service here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll hide me behind the cross. Lord, I pray that you'll help me preach your word. Father, Lord, I pray that you'll just touch these stammering lips of clay. And Lord, that you'll be glorified and that you'll be honored and that you'll be edified in all things that are said and done throughout this service. And Lord, I do pray if there might be one here in the service tonight, Lord, that is lost without Christ as their Savior. Father, Lord, I pray that you will speak to their heart, lay conviction in their heart. Lord, they'll come to know you in that free pardon of sin, receive that free gift of salvation, Lord, that only you can give. And Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' sweet, precious, and holy name, and amen. You may be seated tonight. I thank you for standing as we read the Word of God. I'm not going to be very long tonight. I'm going to be very, very brief. There's just a couple of easy points that I want to share with you tonight as we consider this passage of Scripture in the Gospel according to John. I have to share with you tonight that the Gospel according to John is my favorite book. I love to go and I love to read the book of John. I love to study the book of John. And I just love to read what he says, because John was a first-hand witness to the things that he had saw concerning Christ. And when I think about what John is writing about here, and I think about this man that we see here, really the entirety of this whole chapter is focused around what the Lord has done for this one single man. This one man, we don't know his name, we don't have a biography about him. The only thing that we know, we really don't even know what age he is. His parents say that he is of age, so he is an adult. We do know that. We do know that according to verse number 1, if you'll turn over there very, very quickly, we'll find that as Jesus passed by, that he saw this man which was blind from his birth. So we know, the only thing we really know about this man is that, again, he's of age, he's an adult, that he's been blind since his birth. We can find a lot of things in this chapter. If we break this chapter down, I tell you, we can find a lot of good things within this chapter. We find things about faith, and we find things about mercy, and we find things about grace, and we find things about love, and we find things about compassion. And the list can simply go on and on and on about the things that we can find in this one chapter. But what I find so interesting is what a wonderful testimony that this man that we don't know, that we've never met, is sharing with you and I here tonight. He is telling us that he has been blind since his birth. And at the very last part of this verse that we read there in chapter number 25, he says, this one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And the only reason this blind man sees is because of the personal encounter that he has with the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't anything that a doctor had done for him. It wasn't anything that a family member had done for him. It wasn't anything that anybody else could even possibly think about doing for him. It was the one thing and the one thing only that the Lord Jesus Christ did for this man. It tells us back in verse number 6 that when he had thus spoken, that speaking of Jesus, that he spat on the ground and made a clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. So the Lord notices this man. He passes by this man. And the first thing I want us to understand is that when the Lord passed him by, the Lord noticed his condition.
Yes.
The Lord knew that he was physically blind. There in verse number 6, the Bible says that he stopped long enough and that he got involved in this man's life, that the Lord spit upon the clay, that he made a spittle of clay, and that the Bible says that he took that clay and he placed it upon his eyes. He anointed his eyes, and then the Lord gave him a command. The Lord says, you go down to the pool, and there at the pool you wash. And when you wash, you will come away seeing. So that's really the background and all the background that we have. But what I want us to see here tonight is what a tremendous gift that the Lord Jesus Christ had just given to this man.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about you, but when I read and study the Word of God, I try to put myself in somebody else's shoes, Brother Billy. And when I look at the Word of God and I think about this man that we're talking about here in chapter number 9, I have to think about his condition. Now, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I really cannot fully comprehend this man's condition. The Bible says that he's been blind since his birth. And I'm not trying to be insensitive in any way, shape, form, or fashion tonight. I don't know if anyone here is blind. I don't know if you know someone who is blind. And I'm not trying to be insensitive at all. But what I want you to understand is when I begin to think about this, and I read that, I begin to think, you know what? This fellow's never seen anything at all. He's been blind since his birth. He has no idea what colors are.
Right.
He has no idea what objects are or what they look like. You see tonight, and I'm not going to ask you to do this, but I'm just going to mention this to you. If I were to ask you tonight to close your eyes, and I was to ask you tonight to envision the blue sky, you could do that. And if I were to ask you in that blue sky to envision these big, white, puffy clouds, you could do that.
Yes.
And if I were to ask you to envision the birds that fly through the air, you could do that.
Right.
If I were to ask you to envision a mountain that is covered in trees and the fall of the season and the beauty that God had created through all the red and the yellows and the oranges and the leaves, I'll tell you what, there's hardly anything more beautiful than when you look at a mountainside in the fall and you see all the rich colors and everything that God has created. I'm telling you, it's easy for you and I to envision those things. It's easy for you and I to envision the colors. It's easy for you and I to envision the creation of God. But here's this man. This man who's been blind since his birth, this man who has never seen anything, if we were to ask him to envision the things that I just asked you to envision, he wouldn't be able to envision the things that we see. Now, there's no doubt in my mind tonight that he probably had some kind of idea. He might have had some kind of idea of maybe what the sky looked like. He might have had an idea of what the mountains would look like. He might have had an idea of what the colors would look like. But he could not see them as you and I can see them. And just to give you an example of what I mean by that, if I were to ask you tonight to envision the office in my house, you couldn't do that. I don't think anybody here has been in my house, have you? Not that I know of.
Not when we was home.
Not when we was home, right? So if you come to my house and I asked you to envision my office, you could probably have some kind of vision. You could probably envision some kind of desk, maybe a chair, maybe a computer, maybe a bookshelf, or maybe a light fixture. Maybe you can envision some carpet or some hardwood, but you really wouldn't have any idea of what's in my office. And what I want us to understand is this man in this condition, he's never been able to see anything in his life. And that's the first point that I want to share with you tonight is simply his condition. Let's go back to verse number 1. I'm going to be a little bit repetitive tonight, but I've got something that I want to build up to a point here. Look at verse number 1 again. The Bible says, and Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. So again, we find his condition, but not only do we find his condition, again, we find here that the Lord is going to pass by him and he's going to notice his condition. Now, the reason why I want to be repetitive with this tonight is because I want you to know, and I fully believe in the Word of God. When the Word of God tells us that where two or three are gathered, that he's there in our midst, I am convinced with all the fiber of my being tonight that as we come here to this place and as we gather here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, that the Holy Spirit of God is here in our presence. And what I want you to know tonight is God knows your condition. I don't know what your condition is. Maybe your pastor doesn't even know what your condition is. I don't know what your condition is spiritually. I don't know what your condition is physically. I don't know what your condition is emotionally. But what I can promise you tonight is that God knows each and every one of your conditions. If you've come here lost in your sins and you're lost without Christ Jesus as your Savior, He's aware of your condition. If you've come here tonight with a physical infirmity, He knows your condition. If you've come here tonight with something emotional going on in your life, He knows your condition. So all you got to do is be sensitive to the presence of Jesus in our lives. You see, this man was. He was sensitive to the fact that the Lord was there, because the Bible says that in his current condition that the Lord looked at him and he saw that current condition. That the Bible says that he stopped long enough there again in verse number 6, that he anointed the clay and that he spit upon the clay and he took that clay and he anointed his eyes and he touched him, and then the Lord gave him that command. The Lord tells him to go down to the pool and to wash. Now what I want us to understand is this man at that point could not see Jesus. He could not see Jesus in any shape, form, or capacity. But what he did is that he listened with his ears to the voice and to the command of God. And because he was willing to act in faith, he did not act by his sight, but he acted in his faith, and he took the words of God and he took the command of God and he went down to the pool and he washed just as Jesus had told him to do so. And I'm going to share with you tonight that, listen to me, if you're going to trust Christ as your Savior, you do so by faith and not by sight. I've heard so many people, Brother Billy, in my ministry say, oh, I just wish God would give me some kind of sign. Oh, I just wish God would just allow me to see something from heaven to allow me to know that He's alive and that He's real. All you got to do is step outside. All you got to do is look at the creation. All you got to do is look at His beauty. All you got to do is look at His majesty. All you got to do is step outside and know that God is real.
Yes, right. Amen.
And we accept His word by faith.
Right.
Now the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that's exactly what this man did. He listened to the words of God, and he was willing to follow the command of God, and he went down and he did exactly what the Lord told him to do. And because he was willing to act in faith, that when he washed and he opened his eyes, he came away seeing. Now this is not scriptural. I can't give you scripture to back it up. And I'm not trying to interject anything in the Word of God that's not there, Brother Billy. I'm really not. But I'm going to have to tell you, if I was in that man's shoes and I'd never seen anything since my birth, and I went down to the pool and I washed and I opened my eyes and I could see the colors, and I could see the sky, and I could see the creation of God. I could look down and see my skin. I could see my flesh. I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, I probably would have left that place saying, I can see, I can see, I can see. And I believe he was excited. And I believe in my own heart, and again, I can't give you scripture to back it up because it's not there, but I believe in my own heart that when he left that pool and he made his way back towards the synagogue, that he was telling everybody, hey, listen, I was blind. I couldn't see since my birth, but there's this man by the name of Jesus who came by and he anointed my eyes. And when he anointed my eyes, I came away seeing. And now I can see for the very first time in my life. And it was all because of what Jesus did for him.
Amen.
I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You just answer in your own heart. Do you remember when the Lord saved you?
Amen.
You remember that day?
Yes.
Now you may not remember the date, I understand that. But you probably remember about how old you were. You probably remember where you were. And you probably remember what you were doing.
Yes.
That time and that day that you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you trusted Him. And He forgave you of your sins, and He washed you clean, and He took and He writ your name. He wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He's from that point forward has given you eternal life. I'm telling you, I remember that day. I was a 14-year-old boy. I was 14 years old, and we was at a youth convention, and I still remember the title of the youth convention. The title was 1159, No More Time. And I don't remember the preacher. And I don't remember his message, but I remember he said, "The Lord is coming back soon. Are you ready to meet the Lord?" And I thought, "I'm not ready. I'm not ready. I'm lost in my sins. If I know if I die today that I'm going to lift my eyes in hell, I'm going to that place called hell because I've never repented of my sins. I've never put my faith in Him. I know that I've never been saved." But I remember that day when He was preaching the Word that the Holy Spirit of God convicted this old boy's heart. And I went and I gave my life to the Lord that day. Now, does that mean I walked a perfect life ever since I was 14 years old? Absolutely not. I'm far from perfect. If you don't believe me, you just ask my wife. She's probably got a list she can give you. He's not perfect. He's not always been perfect. I've not always even walked in the way that the Lord wanted me to walk. But I believe as a child of God, He'll always chasten you. And even though I don't like being chastened by the Lord, Brother Billy, I'm going to tell you it's a good feeling to know that He chastens His children. That's a good way to know that you're one of His own. But the Bible tells us that this man came away from that pool and that he was seeing. And again, I have to believe that he went and he shared his testimony with everybody that he came in contact with because now he was cured. Look at verse 11 and verse 15. The Bible says there, "He answered and said, 'A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight.'" You see, right here, this man is giving you and I a personal testimony. He's not talking about somebody else. He says here, he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus anointed my eyes." And not only does he say that, he goes on and he says, "And he said unto me, Go and wash." And then at the last part of that verse, and it says, "And I received my sight." It's personal. Now look at verse number 15. The Bible says, "Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see." So the Bible's very clear of what the Lord had done for this man's condition, had cured his condition, has given him the vision that he's never had before. You know what he's done? He's transformed his life. He's changed his life. This man's going to walk away different and changed than he's ever been before. Yes, he's going to walk away different and changed physically, but I believe in all my own heart by the end of this chapter, he's walking away spiritually. He's trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and he's given him praise, and he's given him worship, and he believes on him. I'm telling you what a wonderful testimony that this man has. But the one thing I want you to see is the people wanted proof.
Right.
The Pharisees, they wanted proof. Look at verses 18, 19, and 20 one more time. The Bible says here, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind." So we find here in these verses that these Pharisees, they didn't believe. They didn't believe that the Lord had healed this man, so they called on his parents because why? They wanted proof. Listen to me, child of God. The world wants proof that something has changed in your life. I'm telling you, as a child of God, there ought to be something different about us. There ought to be something different about our walk. There ought to be something different about our talk. There ought to be something different about our dress. There ought to be something different in our lives. The Bible says that we are to be a peculiar people. We are to stand out. We are to be different than the world. If the world cannot see a Christian any other different than they see somebody of the world, then what kind of testimony are we carrying? You see, we're living in a world today. I'm telling you, this world's wringing our hands. We're saying, man, we're going downhill. And we're going downhill in a fast spiral. I'm telling you, we're on a downward decline. We're accepting sin like we've never accepted sin before. We're looking at sin in a whole different light. I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm not trying to be mean, but even churches are viewing sin different than they ever did before. There was a time and a day that the church believed in church discipline, but we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings anymore. We want to preach health, wealth, and prosperity to you now. Instead of preaching about sin, instead of preaching about forgiveness, instead of preaching about repenting, instead of preaching about those types of things, we just want to tell the world, oh, God wants to give you everything that He can give you. He wants you to be the best person that you can be. And you just go on and you live how you want to live. You do as you want to do. You talk as you want to talk. And I'm telling you, that is contrary from the Word of God. There ought to be fruits. There ought to be fruits of our salvation. There ought to be fruits of our living. There is to be something different about you and I. You see, not only do you and I carry a personal testimony, but you, as the Jordan Baptist Church, you carry a testimony for this church. When you're out in the community, or you're out in the county, or no matter where you are, and you allow people to know that you're a member of the Jordan Baptist Church, you're a living testimony. I want to share a story with you from the very first church that I pastored. One of the elders there at the church, he shared a story with me, and I'll never forget it because it was so simple. He said, me and my wife went to the McDonald's, he said. He said, we went to the drive-thru, and he said, all I wanted was a cup of coffee. He said, I went to the drive-thru and I ordered me a cup of coffee. And he said, that little girl behind the window said, sir, we're making some coffee. If you'll pull up ahead, I'll bring you a fresh hot cup. He said, okay. He said, I pulled my car forward and I sat there and I sat there and I sat there. He said, I counted car after car after car that went by. He said, the longer I sat there, the madder I got. He said, I wanted my coffee. He said, I wanted it now. He said, I decided I was going to go inside that place and give them a piece of my mind. He said, I got out of the car, and he says, I walked up to the door. I saw my reflection. He said, in that reflection was a hat with the name of the church on it. He said, what I was about to do was go behind the counter and just ring this little girl out. And I had the church right there on my ball cap. And he said, what kind of testimony would I have been for my church if I would have went in there and just give her the goat? Yeah. You see, it's just that simple. Whether we want to admit it or not, no matter where we go and no matter what we do and even no matter what we say, we are carrying our personal testimony. You are carrying a testimony as the church. And I'm telling you, we are to strive to be different in this world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So not only do we have the condition and not only do we have the cure, but the most important thing that we find is in verses 24 and verses 25, we find Christ. Look at verse 24 and verse 25, and I'll sum this up. The Bible says here in verse 24, then again, see, they've already called in the parents, and they've already called in this man. They've already asked him, how did you receive your sight? And he told him, he said, there's this man named Jesus, and he anointed my eyes, and he told me to go to the pool, and I went, and now I see. And they didn't believe him, so they called in his parents, and they said, listen, notice this in verse 21. I'm going to go back here real quick. Look at the last part of verse 21. The Bible says, his parents said this, he shall speak for himself. Now, how important is that of this man's personal testimony? That he should speak for himself. They said, listen, you call him in. He's of age. You ask him, and he's going to speak for himself. And this is what happened when they said that. Look again at verses 24 and 25. Then again called they thee the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He said, and answered and said, he said this, he said, whether he be a sinner or no, He says this. Notice this. If you believe and underline in your Bible, I would encourage you to underline these words. He says this. I know not, but this is what he says. One thing I know. Four words. He says, one thing I know. That whereas I was blind, now I see. You see, you and I can do the same thing with our personal testimony. You don't have to be a Bible doctrine to go out here and to share with the world what Jesus Christ has done for you. You don't have to have a doctorate degree. You don't have to have a master's degree. All you got to do is have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to go out and to tell others about what Jesus has done for you. So what do you mean by that, preacher? Let me encourage you tonight. You go out into this world, and all you got to do is say, one thing I know, and I don't know much, and I don't, but one thing I know is that I was lost in my sins. And one thing I know that I repented of my sins and that I called upon the name of the Lord. One thing I know is that He washed me clean in His blood. One thing I know is that He picked me up at that miry, murky pit of sin and He washed me clean and He set me upon the solid rock. One thing I know, I was headed for a place called hell, but one thing I know is my name is forever written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. One thing I know, I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus. One thing I know is that I serve the living God, the loving God, the merciful God, the gracious God who has changed my life. Because I'm no longer the person I was, but I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Those four words you take with you this week. One thing I know. He said, I was blind, but now I see. Brother Billy, I'm done.